Hello, everybody. I'm Dennis Prager, and welcome to my home for a literal fireside chat. Of course, I'm cheating because the room is set at 66 degrees. That's the only way I could live with a fire next to me. But it's great to be with you again. This is almost every week, which is amazing given how much I travel. But I really consider this important because it gives me a chance to just talk to you and a lot of people, as it happens, totally human to human. Because I love, if I may be personal, and I often am, I've always loved, since I was a kid, I love real. I love real people. I just love clarity. That's why I love, you know, clarity over agreement. It's my nature. I'm very much in favor of the real. That's why people can't believe, if I may be even more forthcoming, people, I'm fascinated by this. The first question that people who work with me get from people they meet is, oh, so you know Dennis, is he what he comes off as? That's the most common thing. You guys get that a lot? And because it's almost hard to believe that's really him. I mean, there's no pretense. No, there's no pretense. I'm exactly the same. The only difference off camera or off radio or off video or off audio or off smoke signal is that I'm a drop goofier off camera. Hey, one of the many dogs is showing up, but can you guys see him? No. All right. And you hear one in the background. I have this strange belief that if you have more than two dogs, you're a little eccentric. If you have more than five dogs, you're quite eccentric. If you have more than 10 dogs, you should give a therapist a visit. But we ended up with three because the third dog came to us because of tragic passing of his human dad. So that's different. Anyway, welcome. So let me tell you at the outset, we now have, I want to get this right. First of all, please help support Prager University. We have 400 million views. The greatest single age group is under 35. We are changing minds in a very good way. And everything is free. So obviously people have to help us. And it's, of course, tax deductible. So you can see the donate link in this post. Also, I just learned this today. PragerU is now accepting sponsorships for these fireside chats. So more information is also in a link in this post, whether individual or a company or whatever. So I always begin with some thoughts, and then I take your questions. 1 minute. I don't want the cigar to go out. Okay. So did you know, I don't even know if I've mentioned this on a fireside chat. I don't think I have. Did you know that Harvard this year had a separate commencement for black graduate students? They did their own commencement, the graduation ceremony. And apparently at universities all over the country, Latinos have one. Gays have one, blacks have one, and I think it's terrible. It's terrible for two reasons. First of all, the number one is that the colleges have abandoned liberalism for leftism. If people ask me, I always make the difference, always draw a difference, a distinction between liberal and left. Liberal is honorable, totally honorable. Has a great pedigree. Liberal and left are really antithetical. The liberal ideal is that race is meaningless. Race blind is the liberal ideal. Race preoccupied is the leftist ideal. Okay, just so if you ever need a quick answer to what's the difference between liberal and left, or why people say, you know, because I'm very critical of the left. I think it's utterly damaging all over the world. But I'm not critical of liberalism. I don't agree with it often. but I'm not critical. It's another way of looking at policy, and is worthy of respect. But leftism has nothing to do with liberalism. The most anti-liberal place in America is the university. And you're shutting down speakers with whom they differ, that's not a liberal idea. Liberal means open-minded. Left is closed-minded, by definition, always has been. It's always, since the French Revolution, to Marx, to Lenin, to the present. So anyway, I just wanted to tell you about that. And you would think that Harvard would have said, no, we're not doing that. This university doesn't stand for race-based commencements. You got to be kidding. But when God gave out or nature gave out courage, college officials were not in line. They don't even show up at the end. There is no courage on our campuses. College presidents have been one of the worst factors in terms of perpetuating liberal values in America. And that's a sad thing. It's tragic. Okay. I have to say that because, you know, the Judeo-Christian whole system is based on God created the human being in God's image. Well, God's not black, God's not white, God's not yellow, God's not red. God is the God of everyone. If the human being is in God's image, not the black human being, not the white human being, every human being. Anyway, it's so bizarre. So what if you have a parent who's white and a parent who's black? Do you attend half the commencement? So you say, well, what if the person identifies as black, then they're black. Okay, so can you identify as black if you have one grandparent who's black? I mean, this, do you understand? This is pure racism. Pure. It's a very bad aspect of what is happening in America. And those of you who are young are being raised in an anti-liberal, anti-humane environment. If you are told to honor race, don't honor race. Honor goodness. Honor nobility. Honor integrity. Honor kindness. Honor courage. We honor traits. Not colors. Okay? Okay? Okay. To your questions. I love your questions. Now, hey, you told me they said there. Some of them are saying where. Yeah. Ideally, say where you're from. If you even want to, if you want to add your age and something else, I'm always curious. We're always curious. Marek asks, Dennis, how do you reconcile your opposition to big government with your support of the U.S. military, which is an arm of the government, being the world's policeman? Okay. I'm not an anarchist. I believe that there is a need for government. I'm against big government. The United States is the only society in the world founded on the belief of limited government. There is no other. That's why if America goes left, it's over for the world, because left means bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger government. The left has never said enough. The word enough is not in the left's vocabulary. It's very frightening. And the bigger the government, the more the corruption, by definition, because there's so much more money and more power, and people will abuse it, because that's human nature. If you have access to $1 billion, you're more likely to abuse that access than if you have access to $100. Isn't that right? I mean, it's just common sense. Everything's common sense, or should be. So yes, I would like America to be the world's policeman, because there is something that I value at least as much as small government, and that is peace. Peace. I don't want people killing each other. And the stronger America is, the less bloodshed on planet Earth. The United States is the reason, the primary reason, American force is the reason the Soviet Union didn't conquer Western Europe. So there was no war between the Soviet Union and West Europe. The United States is the reason Japan has had so much peace, because there are troops there. There are troops in South Korea. If there weren't troops in South Korea, North Korea would consume South Korea. And you would have the torture chamber that is North Korea. By the way, talking about that, there was a news item you may not be following, and I am. And that is this poor, poor 22-year-old, I think he's 22, who was on a student trip to North Korea. By the way, you're very foolish if you visit North Korea. It's playing Russian roulette. Periodically, they take somebody and either kill them or send them to one of their torture camps. So this poor kid, all he did was, he saw a North Korean propaganda poster. They're all over the place. One was in his room. He wanted a souvenir of his trip to North Korea, so he took a poster. They found the poster in his luggage, and he was sentenced to 15 years hard labor. I know a lot about North Korea, a lot. My field of studies was communist countries. Been to a lot of communist countries. I know North Korea pretty well. And as soon as I heard 15 years of hard labor, I knew it's over for him. People don't survive that. And sure enough, he was just sent home yesterday. And he's been in a coma for 16 months. You know how long it took? It was like within a year of his being in hard labor, and he went into a coma. They just beat him so often, I'm sure, including they probably beat his head. These poor parents, they hear their child's coming home, and then they find he's been in a coma since March of last year. It's so angering. They're so pure evil. The North Korean regime is pure evil. It's like ISIS and the Islamic terrorists are pure evil. The Nazis were. The communists were. And the North Korean communists. So I think of these parents. I'm a parent. I have a 23-year-old and a 32-year-old and a 33-year-old. And every parent watching this can relate to this. Your child goes on a tourist trip and comes back in a coma. Also, you think of the suffering that he went through. If your child's killed in a car accident immediately, it's bad enough, the loss of a child being so terrible. But if these parents have the added pain of thinking about how much suffering their child went through. Okay, anyway. So yes, I want the U.S. to be the world's policeman. Because if the U.S. is not the world's policeman, who will be? The world is composed of thugs, like streets would be. Well, what would happen if we didn't have domestic police? Right? What if the police in your city decided, we're going on strike for the next 2 weeks, 6 months, how's that? You think there would be an increase in crime? So why wouldn't that happen on the world scene? The world needs a policeman just like your streets do. So who's going to be if the U.S. isn't? Russia? China? Sweden? The U.N.? Who's going to be? Barry from Mesa, Arizona. Dennis, is it possible for someone who doesn't feel grateful to develop gratitude? If so, how would they do it? What a great question. You know, some questions I love because on a very, I don't think the word is selfish, but still the self is involved here. It means I'm getting through, because that question reflects my passion for gratitude, because gratitude, and I have a whole chapter on this in my book on happiness, gratitude is the mother of both goodness and happiness. That's amazing. Without gratitude, you can't be a good person. Without gratitude, you can't be a happy person. That's an amazing thing. So you're saying if you are not, Is it possible for someone who doesn't feel grateful to develop gratitude? So here's the great answer. Great not because I'm giving it, but great because it is about all of life. You are what you want to be. That's why I remember when I was a kid, the big thing was 60s and 70s. I want to find, I'm looking for myself. I never understood that. Look for yourself. There's nothing to find. You aren't there and you're looking for you. You are what you aim to be. What you should look for is the model, whether in a real person or in a series of traits, characteristics. That's what you want to be. If you want to be grateful, then you will be grateful. It starts with saying thank you to everybody all the time. Because I'm a behaviorist. We feel how we act. You act first, feel second. Okie doke. Jonathan from Israel. Hi, Jonathan. Manishma. Dennis, you've talked about the soullessness of Western Europe. What exactly do you mean? Are there places you've traveled that you find do have soul? Another great question. Yeah, Europe is soulless. All of the secular world is soulless. It's just the way it is. I mean, it's not even an attack. It's a description. If you don't believe you have a soul, you're soulless. It's just the way it works. It's soulless. It's in that the only thing that matters by and large is the material, because the only reality is material. There is no God. There is no soul. There's just matter or the materialist worldview. So in Europe, the biggest concerns are, will I get free tuition? Will I get more benefits in my health care? Will I have more time off? Will I have more pay if I get pregnant or if my wife gets pregnant? I'm assuming that they're married, which is a leap of faith. It's those of us who have a strong religious sense feel the soullessness more than perhaps others will, because people who are already secular won't feel it, because they won't know what's missing. It's like a person blind from birth. If you say their life lacks color, they have no idea what you're talking about. If you tell a secular person it's a soulless world, they don't know what you're talking about. Have there been places that I've been to that have a soul? People, it's more than places, it's people. People who have a strong religious sense are more likely. When I meet a 15-year-old or even a 10-year-old, I could tell you if they had a completely secular education or if they had a religious education. And I'm specifically referring to the Judeo-Christian world, to be honest. Although, obviously, it doesn't only apply there, but that's the world that I'm referring to. The elimination of God from Western Europe is the root cause, in my opinion, of the suicide that I think Europe is engaged in. That's another issue for another time. Maybe I will address that. But it's not so much places that as it is is individuals whom I meet, and I have a sense that there's a depth there as a result of having a sense, again, of God and of the transcendent. Ben of Pragerforce. Thank you, Ben. Dennis, did your views on abortion change over time? Have you always been as pro-life as you are now? No, actually, I was quite pro-choice. And my position, if you watch the PragerU video, which I give, on abortion, I don't talk about legality. I talk only about morality. And there's a good example of where I was raised liberal, and, you know, I just assumed, you know, woman wants an abortion. Who am I to say there's something wrong with that decision? That's right. That's just not the liberal position or the left position. And then I met people who were pro-life, and they asked me questions I couldn't answer. So if it's not human life, they would ask me, well, what is it? And I thought, well, that's a pretty good question. There is no answer to that. Please understand, I don't want to go over my whole video, but just this question. Isn't there something intellectually absurd about the notion that the only worth a human fetus has is the worth that the mother gives it? Do we have any other example of that? Where society doesn't state that something has worth, only the owner does? I mean, we have laws protecting animals, right? I mean, and that's got to be more than the human fetus. So, yes, that has changed over time, yes. Henry asked, Dennis, what are your thoughts on the UK's recent election? Well, I read Theodore Dalrymple's take on it in the Wall Street Journal, or in City Journal, I think it was, actually. He publishes in both. Theodore Dalrymple is a very, very deep man. He's a psychiatrist who served in the poorest parts of London for many years. He now lives in France. And he hit the nail on the head. The Conservative Party doesn't stand for much, and Corbyn is terrible. This election was a major tragedy. Major. And I did a whole segment on my show from an article in the New York Times, which of course is thrilled with the results because the left did so well, and interviewing young Brits who apparently made the big difference because a lot of young Brits voted. And they all spoke about what I just said earlier. Oh, now I'm going to have free tuition. Oh, now I'm going to have more benefits. That's what it's about. John Kennedy, the American president, in his inaugural address in 1961, offered that famous question or statement, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. And he was a liberal. See, he was a great liberal, a good man. And he had his flaws, obviously, but I mean, he had good values, by and large. And that's correct. Ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Now it's the opposite. Ask not what you can do for your country, but what your country can do for you. Liberal, this is it. You know what? Thank you, because I just came up with another example of the difference between liberal and left. Liberal, John Kennedy, ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Left, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask not what you can do for your country, but what your country can do for you. That's it. And they get elected that way. Vote for us. Democrats, and we will give you more benefits. That's it. It's hard to defeat any political movement that promises people more benefits. It's an inherent problem for conservatives who think that first and foremost people have to take care of themselves. Second, they have to take care of their neighbor. And third, the government takes care of them. On the left, first, second, and third, the government takes care of you. Noah, a Prager 4 student from San Ramon, California. Thank you, Noah. Dennis, what was your first car? Assuming it was a stick shift, do you still drive stick shift? My first car, you probably never heard of. It was a Saab. S-A-A-B, it was a Swedish car. It was built like a tank. I loved it. The only problem is they were known as Saab stories. because they broke a lot. But I loved it. I have a picture of it somewhere. It was cream color, and it had a stick shift. And my second car was also a Saab. It was dark green and also stick. I love, whenever I rent a car in Europe, I have a stick shift. Even in England, where I'm driving on the other side of the road and have to shift with my left hand, I still get a stick shift car. That's when you really feel like you're driving. By the way, once you know it forever. It doesn't, you can't forget it. And it's not complex to begin with. But I will say this, I drove home from the dealer with my first car. I was 21 years old in New York City. And the guy said, this is, I had never driven one. So the guy said, this is how you do it. Which is a joke somewhat, you know. So I drove out of there, and of course I kept stalling because I didn't know how to get into first. That's the hardest part, is getting into first. So I'd be at a red light, then it turns green, and I'd go into first and stall. And in New York, they don't have much patience for people who don't know how to drive. And so, of course, I heard more honking the first day of my stick shift than I have ever heard in my life, except driving. I didn't drive, but riding in Cairo. That was the most honking I ever heard on the road. Skyler from Hillsdale, Kansas. Dennis, oh, hi, Skyler. What were one or two turning points in your own life that you vividly remember? Actually, it's written up. I wrote the events that changed my life. It's an essay in my book of essays called Think a Second Time. You'd love that book because it's 44 essays on 44 subjects. And it's just as relevant today as when it came out. I always write thinking I want people to read this for a long time. They're not dated, my books. And I wrote about things that had a big effect. I'm very loath to point out one right now because then I am cheating all the others that had such huge impacts. But I will say, though, that traveling had a very big impact on me. I started at 19. I have been abroad every year since I was 19. Been to 130 countries. I'm laughing because I'm laughing at myself. I always sneak that into any discussion. It's the only thing I brag about. It's a lot of work getting to 130 countries, and it's not like I travel for a living. But I that seeing people everywhere taught me a tremendous amount. It taught me, for example, the difference between culture and morality. I honor cultural differences. I don't honor moral differences. So that was a big lesson that I learned. If people do something in a very different way, I don't have an issue with that. But it's if they have, you know, a different definition of good and evil, then I have a problem. Now, this would be Jathushan, or Yathushan, from Toronto. Hi there, Yashuthan. Dennis, schools today love to tell students that they should be leaders and not followers. Is this good advice? Is leadership right for everyone? And if everyone's a leader, who will follow them? I didn't even know that. They tell students they should all be leaders and not followers. Is that right? Mm-hmm. What does that mean? Nobody knows. I don't know what that means. See, you should ask your teacher, what should I lead in? You're 100% right. If everybody's a leader, then who's going to follow? If you aim to be a good model for a lot of people, like I believe every adult male should walk around aspiring to be a good model to young men. Is that a leader? if that's a leader, then that's a great term, but I don't think that's what the teacher had in mind. So I think it's sort of like they now call elementary school students scholars. Do you know that? They're third grade scholars. This I think it's just part of the self-esteem movement, which I'm not a fan of. Okey-doke. Victoria from San Diego asked, Dennis, what are some of your favorite types of foods? If it's edible, I like it. Believe it or not, I don't eat that much, but it is what it is. But I enjoy it. But I am not among those, I don't live to eat, I eat to live. So just give me something, I'll get full, and I leave. I'm happy there are fancy restaurants, because I want chefs to be employed. I want waiters to be employed. I want maitre d's to be employed. I want small businesses to make money. But I have no affinity for fancy restaurants. My favorite place to eat is not at home. It's in a diner. A simple diner with 100 choices, 200 choices on the menu. I love choice. So I don't have an answer to that. Final question, Colt from Mount Juliet, Tennessee. Hello there, Colt. Dennis, what's some advice you have for young men in regard to, well, anything? Yeah, I do. What is it, young men? Mm-hmm. Good. My advice is aspire to be a man, not a boy. That's my biggest piece of advice. So what constitutes a man? I did a show on my radio show. I talk about everything on the show. This is an example. I once did, or maybe twice, I actually did a show wherein I asked women to call in and tell me what they thought constituted a sexy man. Right? What's a sexy man? It was fascinating. Overwhelmingly, the response was, responsible. A responsible man is a turn on to a woman. Now, if the girl is 15, she may say a great butt. Okay, that's fine. But we're not talking about 15-year-old girls. We're talking about 23 or 25 and older. A responsible man is a very desirable man. But there is a war on masculine men. There's a war on men in general. See the PragerU video by Christina Hoff Summers, The War on Boys. It'll open up your mind to what is happening now. When I was a boy, I was told, be a man, be a man, be a man, be a man. Boys are not told that now. Mm-mm. On the contrary, there was a piece in the New York Times, believe it or not, How to Raise a Feminist Son. Yep, that's what we need. More feminist boys. And among the pieces of advice is that they should cry more. Why? Also, I have to say, it's intellectually dishonest because women don't want men who cry a lot. I'm not saying a man should never cry. I have wept in public on many occasions when I've been overwhelmed by something. But, you know, cry a lot is not a virtue, especially not in men. And women don't want that. You want the greatest proof of this? There is a scene. I have not seen a lot of movies. I love movies, but I don't watch them much at all. I don't have the time. Well, there is a movie that I'll bet most of you have never even heard of, let alone seen, called Bedazzled. There was a 70s version, and then one made around, I don't know, 2000. They're both great. You should see both. It's a very brilliant idea. It's about a guy who's somewhat of a loser, especially with women, and the devil, a gorgeous woman as the devil, shows up. And it was Elizabeth Hurley in the later one, and it was, that famous the beautiful woman from like 1000 BC. I don't remember her name, but she was a very beautiful, famous actress at the time. Anyways, they play the devil, and they offer him a deal. Give me your soul, and I will give you 7 wishes so that you can get this girl of your dreams. He had a particular affection for this girl who wouldn't give him the right time of day. All right? So, all of the wishes backfire. It's very funny and very intelligent. One of the wishes is the devil sneaked in to the girl that he wanted to impress, or young woman that he wanted to impress and get to love him, to fall in love with him. And they opened, and it was clear they thought it was wrong, but he couldn't help it. He wanted to know what she wanted. So they looked in her diary without her knowing it, because they were invisible. It's the devil. She could do anything. And one of the entries was, I want a sensitive man. So one of his wishes, he says to the devil, I want to be the most sensitive man in the world. So she grants him his wish. He is seated on the beach with the woman he's trying to woo, and he is reading her his poetry. No, he's not reading her his poetry. He is looking out at the sunset, and he is waxing eloquent and poetic, and he even begins to cry at the beauty of the sunset. Then a couple of guys walk over and look at him and kick sand in his face. And he cries again, and she goes off with the guys who kicked the sand in his face. Okay, so maybe that helps give an illustration. Again, the name of the movie is Bedazzled. So great to be with you. A reminder, please help support Prager University. Whatever you give, we appreciate. There's a donate link on the post. And PragerU is now accepting sponsorships for these fireside chats. There's information also in a link in this post. I really enjoy being with you during these fireside chats. I hope you feel the same. And until next week, I'm Dennis Prager. Thank you for being with me.